Hello everyone, my name is Lito Ferro, the host of Cribwolf Talks. Welcome to another episode of Cribwolf Talks. Every month we present a nonprofit organization, effectively a social business that directly or indirectly impacts the quality of life faced by members of our vulnerable population, primarily people with developmental disabilities. On our program today, we are honored to spotlight KW Habilitation. KW Habilitation is a not-for-profit organization that provides a wide range of individualized services and supports to children with any special need and adults with developmental disabilities in the Kitchener-Waterloo, Ontario region. KW Habilitation believes that a good life is fostered through early learning supports, inclusive living services, community involvement, and employment supports. November 2022 marked a milestone anniversary for KW Habilitation of 50 years of service. Congratulations to KW Habilitation for achieving this mark. Who better discuss the valuable work accomplished by this progressive social business than Anne Bilodeau, the Executive Director of KW Habilitation. So Anne, let's begin our discussion by taking us in an abbreviated journey of your time with KW Habilitation, perhaps from the start to the present day.
Mine goes back a few decades. It actually goes back to the late 70s. So come April, I'm 45 years. So I believe I'm one of those rare people that has only worked at one place full time. I did many different things in my years. Hopefully I still have a few years left. But KW Habilitation was my placement, actually, when I was in college, what's now known as a developmental services worker program, but it was different then. But anyway, and so it was actually my last placement. I didn't want to do it because I wanted to stay in Niagara where I was from, but nope, I came to Kitchener for an adventure and I never went back other than to visit, of course. So, but what inspired me about KW Hab even then is the fact that working with adults with an intellectual disability was something that intrigued me. Once I got my foot in the door, that was it. There was no turning back. So, and through the years, I've had the opportunity to do many things. HR was probably my biggest portfolio for about 20 years, and then executive director for the last 15, 16 years.
Wow, terrific. So Anne, your mission statement reads on your website, together with our community, KW Habilitation inspires abilities to enrich the lives of children, youth, adults, and families. From the statement on your website, it is obvious that KW Habilitation is a multifaceted organization. You service children, youths, and adults with developmental disabilities and their families. You have a farm operation and an employment segment to your organization. So let's start with children's services. How does KW Habilitation enrich the lives of children, Anne?
Well, we actually have an entire division, which is called early learning. And so what we do is we actually are the special needs resourcing service for all children that are from the ages of zero to 12 right. years old. So we've got a team of resource consultants that go into, there's about 1,100 children, up to 1,400 in well over 135 licensed daycares throughout Waterloo region. So we are the single point of access too. So if any family member is suspecting something, then of course, they can reach out to our single point of access. We call it SNAP. But we also, so we work in the world of not, it's children with any special needs concern. So if you think of a child starting off their life, there might be some early intervention being key that's absolutely imperative. And we may be able to do early work and then never see the child again, which is great. There are other children that we may see in their life journey. So it truly is an early intervention program that we're quite proud of. And we work with children with autism, FASD, and any special need concern.
Wonderful. So stay with your mission statement. So KW Habilitation has another interesting segment of their business that deals with employment as well. So can you elaborate, Anne, on KW's employment services and the programs you have in place? For example, I read about Career Compass and Project Search, right?
Right. So again, we like doing things that are for our community and by our community too. So when you look at Career Compass, it's for anyone who has a barrier to employment. So career, it is, but it's a little bit of a different model. We have job seekers and we have employers, right? And so all the work focuses on developing the employers so that they are welcoming in their, right, in their workplace and also in their businesses. But then we also have job seekers that we work very closely with so that they can meet their dreams and goals of where they want to work. And so there's an entire program built around that. It's a very consistent program that we actually got out of Essex County, and we all have the same model of Career Compass. So if we have somebody that's working at Sobeys and they move to another part of the province, they can get support at a Career Compass if there's one in their local community, which is fascinating. Project Search is very different. It's actually led by the school board, and also the local hospital is the project right now, and KW Hab. So there are six students that actually have their classes at the hospital with a teacher, right? So they get their classes, that's their last year of school. Then we come in and we do job coaching with the hospital staff, so they get to actually be introduced to all the different jobs in a hospital. So imagine all the different jobs that they can do. And I've seen everything from cleaning, you know, utensils, from actually working in an operating room and cleaning it before the utensils, before someone's going into surgery. It's fascinating all the different things they can do. So that's a really well-developed program, someone's last year of school. And then of course the intent is moving from there into potential employment at a hospital. We're expanding that. We're going to be looking at Project Search in different environments and for adults, not just with students. And we also have Leg Up series to Leg Up to Work. And there's three different modules on our Leg Up to Work, which gives people the pre-skills and the confidence that they need in order to work in a place that they want to work, or volunteer if that's what they choose to do too.
That's great. I mean, just so you know, I actually was intrigued by the Project Search, and I reached out to them, and I think I was speaking to a Carolyn McDougall, whatever, and I'm going to have him on our show. We're going to fit him in sometime in the future, I think, because I believe that the employment, and, you know, I've spoken this before, that the employment aspect is just, it's part of that, you know, the life cycle for individual development disabilities, that obviously the roof over their head, to be safe and have the supports they need, but they also are gifted, right? And they have so many possibilities, and understanding what they can do from an employment aspect, and you know, utilizing that gift that they have, and makes them you know, adds to their personal growth and their self-esteem. So I really believe that that's a great aspect, great segment of your business. That's wonderful. And as a matter of fact, I had NPower on one of our previous shows, and they're you know, they service the underserviced population in the IT sector. So they provide job opportunities and training for free through their sponsors. What an incredible program. I don't know if you watched that episode, but they're new in Canada, and also dealing with, again, the underserviced population, and looking at people with developmental disabilities, and see how the gifted individuals can find employment in through their program. That's great.
We're in Waterloo region. Imagine our IT hub here, and we are so well connected. It's unbelievable. And so we're quite proud of the people that are working in the IT sector right here locally, and we absolutely showcase all of that. KW Habilitation means a good life. And what's the definition of a good life? And that is feeling valued. And how do we all feel valued? I know I feel valued. I worry about retirement because I wonder what my value is going to be. And so I think that is exactly what happens when someone is doing something that they value, and work is a big part of what we all feel can make us feel valued.
That's so true. So another exciting area, again, of KW Habilitation are your farms. I find it intriguing reading about that, which are there are now, I believe, two farms, right? Can you talk to us about the value of the farm segment of KW?
Yeah, well, this started because we have, you know, we do have property, which is great. So we have some property out in the country, and we actually had people drive by, and we have about 12 acres, I think, out there. And they were like, what's going on with that land? We would like to take a look at it and maybe do some farming. So it all started very granularly, right? And so when it started, though, it just boomed. And we realized we had fertile soil, but it needed to be worked to get it to even an organic state. I learned a lot about farming. We'd actually call it our farm. And we have 4 or 5 acres now out there. We built a relationship with the region of Waterloo. They actually have walking paths out there and gave us funding to plant nut trees that were the natural part of that habitat. That's a big deal now, is bringing back vegetation that was pulled out. And so we have that. We have a beekeeper at the very back. So there's an entire walking path along with our couple of acres of vegetables, ground cherries. Who knew there was such a thing? I had no idea, but I have grown them since. And they grew out there naturally. Then we have an urban, when you think of some of our homes, we have big properties in the backyard that aren't being used. So we have an urban property, University App. And so there we actually developed raised beds too, so people with wheelchairs can go in and actually be engaged. And the Our Farm project has blossomed and grown over the last 5-6 years. We provide fresh vegetables, fruit to all of our sites, of course, but we actually have overflow. And our overflow, we built partnerships with the Working Center. Of course, there's the homeless population that we can access to. So it's really cool because it's quite a community project. Volunteers come from all over the place, in particular corporate. Corporate team building happens at our farm, which is pretty cool.
So you mentioned volunteers. My next question is, I would assume that they're all volunteers, or is there staff involved? I know it's a seasonal business, obviously, here in Canada, the farm business, but are they all volunteers, or do you have some full-time people? And do you have individuals with development disabilities or any other variabilities working on your farms as well?
That's what we're all about. But the cool thing is, we've really done well with Service Canada and the summer jobs. So we have a really cool employment opportunity. So if you're a student, you can come and be work with us alongside of someone who's a student who happens to have an intellectual disability, and the two work together at our farm, and they're both interning, and it's everything from seedlings to growth to, and many of them hang out with us afterwards as volunteers. So we can pay them during the summer, both get paid. So does it matter if you're a person with an intellectual disability or if you're one of the students that's peer mentoring, right? It's a peer mentoring kind of program that has done extremely well. We do have a full-time farmer, I call her, but she's also a direct support professional. She's a DSP. She's been in the sector for years and absolutely loves our farm. And also do all of the canning in the fall. We have markets on Wednesday. So we have pop-up markets. All of that goes on. They really go crazy, right? In April with the seedlings, and then right to fall harvest. And then we have a big harvest dinner that we all share in the fall too. So it's really quite spectacular. And the food that we sell at at our market is unreal, but the salsa is unbelievable. Everybody wants the salsa. We sell out of salsa every year.
Oh, you're making me hungry now. I got to put an order in. That's fantastic. So, okay, that's the farm is a wonderful story there for sure. You and I both know, we're going to move on now with this other sector. You and I both agree and understand the importance of and the lack of deeply affordable supportive housing for persons with developmental disabilities. Big, big topic every day. There are different types of housing models, as our viewerships should know, that there is a smaller home model, often referred to as a group home model, and the larger multi-residential model, often referred to as BRIC. They're both important and very much dependent on a person's choice and their comfort level, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm sure you agree with me. So, Lan, let's first discuss the KW's inclusive living homes, as you call them, seen as a smaller group home model. Can you elaborate on the scope of work associated with this facet of your organization?
Sure, and we do have all kinds of different levels of support, right? And we also have definitely different sites. We have 26 different sites. So we use the word inclusive living. And that's because We do want to get rid of the word group home because there's a connotation to it. So it's all about what I call journey to belonging. And so, which is cool. And it's great to change the language up. And many of the people that we work for also have their language changing too, which is wonderful. But we have some sites that only have two people in it. They might be higher need individuals. We also have other sites. I think the most we have in one site would be six, and that would be a much larger home. We have one that has six, and they've been together for 25 years. They consider each other families. They vacation together. You know, all of the decisions in the home is made by the people living in the home. We also have supported independent living, of course, which is in the community. We also got into, and we're going to talk about it more in more detail, the affordable housing side. What I think is important for the viewers to understand is there's a big difference between affordable housing and supported affordable housing. And that is, there might be affordable housing, but if someone needs support within that housing, that the two different things. And what we try and do is see where we can allow for the most option for people if they need it in the supportive world, also along with the affordable housing world. So the homes that we have right now are all at what I would call a high level, high end residential site within our community. I went through decades of what I call NIMBY, not in my neighborhood. And I'm proud to say in 2023, we are part of the neighborhood. We are in the neighborhood and we're welcomed in our neighborhoods. And I think that's really important for anyone that is going to get into the world of supported affordable housing to do.
Yeah, it's really important that the, you know, Kitchener-Waterloo community believes in it, and it's a collaboration, right? That's everybody has to be involved in. So staying with the housing segment of your organization, you mentioned the larger unit. The wonderful to see KW recognize the magnitude of it and the need for deeply affordable housing, as you mentioned. In fact, in 2018, KW completed the construction of a 22-unit affordable multi-unit residential community building. Can you walk us through the manifestation of this wonderful project, 22 units?
That was interesting. So we had property again. We had the old traditional style sheltered workshop, for lack of a better word. Certainly didn't meet the philosophical path that we were on. So we actually tore down the old factory type building. We built a larger building on the back of the property that is our 99 Ottawa. And it was built by the people I still have the little sticky notes from the people that we work for saying, you know, we want to be able to have a building that has air conditioning. We want a building that doesn't have slippery floors. You know, this is again, going back to that model of a sheltered workshop. And we don't want that anymore either, which was pretty cool. That left a large space on the other half of our property, and that's where the brainstorm of affordable housing came in. But we didn't want to do affordable housing. I mean, obviously we would do it for some of the people we work for, but we also wanted to do it for our community. So we had the land. We knew that there were funding opportunities. And one of the things that we almost struggled with was people thought that we were doing a 22 unit. There's one and two bedroom units in the building. There's more one bedroom than not. I think it's 10 and 12. But what we wanted to do, we wanted the community to go, hey, KW Hab isn't just about taking from the government and providing a service for people with intellectual disabilities and developmental disabilities. It's also, hey, we want to do something for our community because we can. We've got the land. So let's build a 22 unit that will diversify and integrate and have people that want to live with each other, which is important. So we developed it and built it. Went through some struggles. It took us about 4 years to do that because we did, you know, the enviro. I know everything about construction these days, but there was also a lot around the quality that we insisted on having in our build. And I think that's also very important for the viewers to know. And that is you don't build affordable housing on the cheap. Not if you want it to last long. And if you have people with disabilities that are going to be living in your building, you have to always make sure that whether it be accessible, whether the material is going to be able to last, whether it's always going to look good. We overlook a golf course. We have a high standard of building. And so we you know, we were, our heads were shaking a couple of times when it was like, no, we need cinder block in between. We need to have sound proofing. We are landlords and have been for 50 years. Trust us, we know what it takes to put out money now. You won't be putting it out as often later. Not that things don't happen or fall apart. So it took us a while. We built our 22 unit. Out of the 20 units, there's about 8 units that KW Hab uses as supportive units that people that we work for live in. We did sell a group living, aka old group home, in favor of having them move. And just so you know, the support dollars that we got for those, I think it was 5 or 6 people, now help support the same 24 hours. For I believe it's 9 or 10 people. So you see, it actually stretched it out. Not that there's less support. There's one night staff can go through 3 apartments during the night if that's what they need for support. Technology is wonderful too. Technology has really helped in terms of security. We have cameras, all of those things too, that add that little extra layer of safety in the home.
Well, so it's really mixed use as well, right? So to your comment and all these amenities and the quality of the construction is so important for this project to, persist to maintain sustainability, right? So, and I could just see that everybody must be happy though. I mean, the quality of life there, because you factor in the farm and the employment possibilities and the counseling they get and the interaction with the individuals there, it really becomes kind of a wonderful setting, right, for people to grow and regardless of their challenges. So I love hearing that. So I noticed when researching your project, your organization referred to a clear philosophy of neighbors helping neighbors. What is meant by that?
I think that's what defines us as being a little bit different. So when we there is a process you go through. So all of our apartments are affordable. That means that they're all below market rent, of course. Some of them are even below than that. Like, so of course, when you're a charity in a not-for-profit world, it's a little bit different. So
right.
What was important is that we interviewed everyone that came in, and everyone that came in had to, of course, qualify for affordable housing. And so we did get different, as long as they qualified for affordable housing, we would interview. But what was important was the matrix that we did in the interview. And that basically said, you know what, are you willing to say hello to your neighbors? It didn't mean that you have to hang out. That's not what this was about. It was little steps. And we had a really wide variety of people in the very beginning. And there's been some huge success stories. Did it mesh right off the bat? No, it took a while for neighbors to help neighbors, because even with our staff went in and did support for so many of the units as an example. So if someone from another unit needed something, in the very beginning it was, I'm not too sure if I can do that. Is that still part of my job? Of course it is. So this is where it's really morphed into people now go outside and they have a little smoking area. If they don't see someone, it's like, I think I'm going to go knock on Josie's door and say, you know, are you okay? An example. So they do a lot of that. They help each other. We do sharing. So they've done Christmas potlucks, all of those things. But if you don't want to, that's cool too. We had someone, for example, we took in that was homeless. He did not. He lived in a place downtown where he never had a shower. Okay, so I want you to imagine. We've seen people have changed in their lives that have become not just happy. And I don't think it's not happy 24/7. Don't misunderstand. But I think it's a different type of quality of life. And of course, we do have things like the Our Farm, and you can have, you know, free vegetables in the summertime. And we treat everyone together in our neighborhood. And that includes a neighbor down the street if they need something. So it's really become a collective in our neighborhood. And I think our neighbors around us are quite happy. In the beginning, maybe not so much, but they are because of the construction, right? But I think we've developed the community and our neighborhood much further than it ever would have been had we not have created what we did in our 2 spots.
Wonderful. I think we're quickly right out of time, so I want to get these last 2 questions in. I know that you have congratulations, you have another 18 unit affordable housing building under planned, right? So just quickly, 1 minute or so, how is it going? Is it on schedule?
Well, it's pending funding. We did not get in what's called it's called the city stream. So we're now going for what's called the project stream. So stay tuned. Put it this way, we're shovel ready, which is a big deal. We're drawing everything. We're complete shovel ready. So we're crossing our fingers, and we're going to be doing some advocating with government. So we're hoping that they will look our way. For sure. But there's lots of projects out there going on that are absolutely wonderful. I don't even know how they can make a decision, to be honest with you. There's such a need.
That's great. So, and I always end the show with asking our guest, if there was an overarching message, what would Ann Billard do like to leave with our audience?
I think my overarching message would be about Journey to Belonging. It's going to be the biggest reform in our sector. And I also really believe, don't just say you're going to do something, really do it. Don't just say I'm going to be the difference, actually be the difference with everyone. So that's probably what I would say.
That's great. So unfortunately we've come to the end of our program, Anne, and, I want to thank you for appearing on our program and speaking to us about your organization and the farm and all the other work you do and the housing and the supports. And we wish all of us at Crib of Talks, wish KW Habilitation more success in the years to come. We look forward to getting an update with you. And I know that you and I will be going to Ottawa on a separate note to further the cause. And again, thank you very much for appearing today.
Thank you so much, Lino, for allowing me the opportunity. Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
You too.
As I close today's program, I would like to congratulate Ann Billadou and all of the KW Habilitation team. They are certainly trailblazers. Kitchener-Waterloo has benefited from their services and commitment to the region. I am certain many people agree after listening to Ann on this program that KW Habilitation has created an environment where the lives of children, youths, and persons with developmental disabilities are seen, they are heard, they are respected, and they are happily engaged. Consequently, their lives are enriched. You can learn more about KW Habilitation by visiting their website, kwhab.ca. As always, I look forward to hosting our next episode of Crib of Talks. My name is Neil Farrell. Be well, stay safe, and remember, affecting change enriches lives.